Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us for the Radio Sunday School lesson for February the 2nd, 2020, in the year of our Lord. And we want you to join us and enjoy the lesson, be a part of the lesson by praying for us and by considering what we say. And then if it's true, then obey what we say, because we're going to tell you what God said. And it won't have to. You don't have to trust us and what we say. It'll be God that says it.
We're going to talk today about suffering a little bit, but, you know, I love it that it's coming and soon to be springtime. Mm-hmm. Or if we're still in the cold part of the year, in the cold part of winter, but the day's getting a tad longer now, mm-hmm. and we're beginning to feel a little bit of change in the air. And so, hey, this is the time of year when I say, come on, spring, hurry up and get here. Hurry up, hey, come on now.
This is a special day.
Let me ask you a question.
What happens on February the 2nd?
Well,
Groundhog.
Oh, is today Groundhog Day? I'll be dog.
Isn't it Groundhog Day?
Groundhog Day, probably is.
I believe that's him over now, to my left.
What about your hip? You're going to be able to accomplish all of the things in the spring.
I'm planning on it.
Okay.
If I can just get on my little old tractor one way or the t'other. I may have to get me a step ladder to get up mm-hmm. on my tractor with this new hip, the man-made hip I got.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to try it. And my wife's going to have to be gone when I try it. But I'm going to try it.
Now, she might ought to be there holding the ladder, Mike.
Well, I got a next-door neighbor. Old Roger Minton. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And he'll stand there and hold a ladder for me.
Will he?
Yeah, he will.
All right, so
and this is leap year too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a 366-day year.
Yeah,
we get one extra day in February this year.
My.
So if I am right, and if this is Groundhog Day, did he see his shadow?
Well, I couldn't tell you. I hadn't watched the TV enough to find out yet today.
What's it? Who is that Punxsutawney?
Punxsutawney Fred or something. He's the old groundhog, supposedly.
Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania Phil.
Yeah. Phil, that's his name. Not Fred, he's Phil.
And you guys that's named Phil, this is no reflection.
No, not at all.
You a groundhog.
No.
So,
we love you, Phil.
We don't believe in that. I don't believe a groundhog can affect one thing about the weather. So we just don't need you to be aware of it. And you can throw that old myth out of the way along with all those others if you want to. All right, but we are studying, pardon me, about a fellow who suffered. What was his name, Opinion?
What was his name?
The fellow that suffered. Yeah, old Job.
Man.
And
Job suffered tremendously.
So what we're going through a series. When life gets hard, big, excuse me, the groundhog must have kicked up some dust. When life gets hard, big questions about pain and suffering. So far, we have studied, why does suffering exist? Number two, how can God use me when others are suffering? And last week, why am I suffering? And then today, what's God's answer for suffering? So let's tell me about who we are, and we're going to have a word of prayer.
I'm Mike Hall. I'm Patrick. New Salem Baptist Church in Reform, Alabama.
And I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moore's Bridge Baptist Church in Eccola, Alabama.
Eccola.
And I'm Herschel Owen, and I used to be pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Gordo, Alabama. They didn't run me off. They didn't hate me. I didn't steal.
Well, maybe one or two.
I didn't steal the church's money. But God says after 19 years in that church, 19 years, he said, well, it's time for a new adventure. And a young fellow like me, I just struck out on a new adventure. And so I'm I'm just excited to see what God is going to do with me. And I'm not going to turn into a groundhog.
I hope not.
All right. Now then, what is God's answer to suffering? Now, God's got an answer to everything. He don't necessarily tell me everything. He doesn't necessarily show me everything. He doesn't necessarily give me the answer to everything, nor to anybody else either. But He knows. He knows me. He knows you. He knows you that are suffering and listening to us. And you're saying, well, I'm going to see what those guys are going to say about God's answering to suffering. So we're going to have prayer, and we're going to then see what we can find out about that. Brother Pinion.
Our Father, we're grateful today for every expression of your love. We thank you that we can come together as friends and fellow workers in the kingdom of God and share our faith and share some lessons that we've learned with others that we pray will be planted in their hearts, especially, our Father, the message of salvation and the fact that these individuals that have never given their heart and life to Jesus are going to be challenged today with the Word of God to the point that conviction will come through the power of the Holy Spirit and they will come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Again, help us and protect and provide for us that we might say things that will encourage others in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so last week we studied again on Job, and Job is the classic example of suffering. I think if anybody that has read the Bible any at all, and the Bible book of Job or the name Job is mentioned, then people begin to recognize that indeed he did suffer. That was one of the main things about his life. And I don't want to be remembered for that in my life, the suffering I do, but if I suffer, I want to be remembered like Job was, as a man who came through it victoriously and reached the conclusion and heard the answer from God about suffering. And one of the hardest mysteries in life is dealing with suffering. Why? What's God's place in a world that is filled with evil and suffering? What's God doing? And what's his place in that world that he built? And the thing about it is, he knew it before he ever built it. He knew before he ever created Adam and Eve they were going to sin. And why would he do that? And before I was ever born, he knew I'd sin. Why would he even let me be born and live? Well, we may not find all those answers, but we're going to see what God has to say about suffering. We're limited. We can see what's going on right now. And if you're laying in a bed of affliction, or you're sitting on the couch there and unable to get out and going through some hard times by suffering, and you say, nobody understands, listen, I'll tell you, God does understand. He does understand. And you may not know all the answers, but you try to trust God. Three things we're going to look at. Job contends with God about his suffering. Now, last week, did we not say that Job was a righteous and upright man?
We did.
Oh, yeah. And we said that because God said it.
That's exactly right.
But now here you find Job is contending or arguing or at least having a real serious discussion with God about his suffering. Number two, God's thoroughness in his revealing Job wrongfully blaming God for his suffering. Number three, Job's rightful conclusion. When it all got through discussing and it was concluded. Brother Mike, read us that scripture.
Job chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further.
Job continues questioning God, and God continues dealing with Job and answering him, has been doing so actually since the 38th chapter there, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I'll demand of thee an answer thou me. So he continues to respond out of 38, 39, and now here we are in Job chapter 40, the first five verses, about suffering and about what was God's part in suffering. I think we've dealt with this a good bit, but opinion, what do you think God's part is in suffering? Could he prevent all suffering?
He can, but he won't.
And why?
Well, I don't know why. I never have asked him why.
Okay.
And so I really don't know. The thing that strikes me is there's lots and lots and lots of suffering out there that the Lord's not responsible for, mm-hmm. not involved in. I look at newsreels on television, and I think of Lebanon, and I think of Syria, and I think of the Middle East, and I see where a handful of individuals that, I don't know whether they're not led by God, doesn't seem, but they get in there and they'll destroy buildings, they'll kill people, they'll just absolutely decimate an entire town.
Yeah.
And you know, I wonder then, sometimes, why don't God just zap them and clean that thing up? But he didn't do it, and he's not going to do it, because he gave man freedom. He gave man free will to choose whatever he wanted to choose and whatever direction he wanted to go. And these people are just, they must just be mean and uncontrollable individuals. And in the suffering that those people have because of that is something that just baffles me.
Let me go back a ways, and y'all see if you can help me with this. Of course, what you've described is a war.
This is present day.
Yeah, but it's a war that has gone on for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries. And when we go back to Abraham, and God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a boy. And I'm going to build my relationship with people through your boy. Abraham waited. Abraham was at that time 90 years old, I believe. And Sarah was, well, no, he was 75 when God first called him. But then, and his wife was 10 years younger than he was. And some time went by, no baby child came. And for a woman, that was a disaster. And for a man, it was too. Because his whole evaluation by the community depended on how many sons he had and his family. So they said, we'll help God. We'll help God. And Sarah said, well, I know what we'll do. I'll give my servant girl to Abraham for his wife, and he can have a baby through her. And he did, and that baby's name was Ishmael. Well, God said, Abraham, you have made a bad mistake, son. Bad mistake. That's not what I was talking about.
Not my plan.
Later on, another boy was born to Abraham and Sarah, whose name was Isaac. Now, I'm going to stop there and get Brother Mike or one of these guys to continue on what happened and why this suffering and why this hatred and all is going on in the East, Middle East right now, as pertaining to that, Mike?
Well, of course, as would be natural, Ishmael began to make fun of Isaac, saying, "You just a little runt, you little boy." And of course, the handmaid that Sarah had given
Hagar
to become Abraham's wife and have the son Ishmael, she began to taunt Sarah, and Sarah got angry and all of that good stuff. But the whole idea was that Ishmael contended that, "Hey, I'm the firstborn. I am the one who inherits the blessing. And so therefore the blessing from God." Now we know that Hagar believed in God. Because we know that when Abraham finally succumbed to Sarah, who demanded that Hagar and Ishmael be cast out of the camp, and Abraham just took them out in the wilderness and said, "Okay, here's some food and here's a little money," or whatever resources he gave her, and left her out there, that she cried out to God, and of course God heard her.
Right.
And God said, you'll have descendants. And Ishmael does have descendants.
And who are they?
They are the Palestinians. They are the Arabs. And then, of course, Isaac now is the blessed one. He is the promised one of God, who was to be the descendants of Abraham as the firstborn. And so there's
this. And who are they now?
They are the Israelites. They are the Hebrews. The Jewish people. And so that war began when them two boys were just boys. They were just little fellers. And as they come through their teenage years, that hatred grew. And it's still today. It's just that way. Because both races, both nations do have their descendancy back to Abraham. And because of that, they both have a claim. But Ishmael was the firstborn. He just wasn't the firstborn to Sarah. He wasn't the promised child of God. And so we know the descendants of Christ and so forth all come through of Isaac and through that lineage, David and all of those. And so that's where the hatred began.
And that's where the opinion, all that fighting and war and killing.
And still the innocent ones. You've been there, Mike, and I have too.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the amalgamation of two races.
You do. Mm-hmm.
And you might be led by a Palestinian.
Right.
And you might be a good friend to a Hebrew.
Hebrew. Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
So you got that whole thing, and it seems to me they're fighting against each other.
Well, they are.
They definitely are. But yet, even in Israel, there's a lot of Palestinians who live in Israel and Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of Hebrews, Jewish people, who live in the lands of the Palestinians. But that hatred continues right below the surface for those who don't exercise it. And then there's those who boil over. And so the fighting continues, even to today. And there's no amount of negotiating that Donald Trump or anybody else can do that'll put a stop to it.
They've all tried.
All have tried.
Well, that explains that side of it. And of course, there's a world of suffering there. In this case, old Job is, he's just thoroughly baffled. But he's been contending with God and saying, Why don't you come on and explain yourself? Come on, tell us what's going on here. And then that's where verse 1 of 40 takes up. And moreover, the Lord answered Job, answered him as he questioned him, as he sometimes even accused God of not being fair and doing things that were wrong. But he says, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer." What was Job trying to tell God? God,
well, just like Mike Hall does too many times, "I know better than you do."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically what Job was saying. You know, God, I'm tired of this. I hadn't done anything wrong. I don't understand it, so it's time for it to all be over with. And, you know, if you're really God and you really love me, then it's time for you to bring this mess to a halt. And God basically, so Job began to question him. Now, we know Job was a good man. He was an upright man.
But he was a man.
But he was a man. He was a human being. And God knows what it's like to be a human because Jesus came to earth as a human. And I love the fact that I know that God is on his throne and all of the wonderful things that God is, but I also know that God understands when I question, God, I don't understand why there's a lady in my church that has to suffer like she does with the cancer that we all know is killing her. She don't want to die. She don't want to leave this earth. She wants to serve God the way she's always served him in our church. And she's always been such an inspiration to the rest of us. But yet she continues to suffer until we know, unless God intervenes, that she's not going to live through it. And God, I don't understand that.
Sure.
But now God's big enough to handle your questions.
That's exactly right.
Just like he's big enough to handle Job's questions. So he said, all right, Job, you ask me questions. You contend with me. So I'm going to ask you something. Mm-hmm. Do you think you can teach me something?
That's right.
Do you think you can? I mean, come on and answer me, he said. If you want to teach me something, then tell me what you can teach me. Here I am. I'm listening. Yeah. I'm listening. George said, oh, no, wait a minute now, Lord. I know I'm a vile man. What is it I can teach you? Surely I couldn't teach you anything. I'll put my hand over my mouth and shut up. But he said, I do have a couple things I need to say right quick, if you don't mind, Lord, and then I'll ask no more. And so God basically is saying, okay, come on, bring it on, son. I'm listening. Yeah. I mean, just like a good father would listen to his children, God's listening. And he's listening to you.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say he's listening to you. Today, if you need to talk to him, go ahead. Have at it.
What kind of teaching and instruction did he give to you, Mike?
Oh,
with your pain for your hip,
oh, Lord.
And your fears for your kidneys, what all went on in that? Now,
I guess one of the most profound things that happened here lately was when I got the call from the doctor. You've got two masses on your kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to do surgery quickly and see what this is all about. And, of course, your first response, just like anybody else's or mine, was, hey, whoa now.
Yeah,
back up. Hey, wait a minute. I've dealt with folks all along. It's
had cancer. I don't want any word. There's just doctors all over the state of Alabama and Georgia and Mississippi and Tennessee that handles them cases.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
not right?
That's right. There's a lot of them that do. But this is me.
Well, this I'm talking about me. But they weren't that many that.
But now I go to the doctor and he tells me that I can't fix this. I'm not capable. We're gonna have to find a doctor somewhere that can. But I'm not the man. So we began to look and we found one in Oklahoma City. We found one in Southern California and one up in New York. And I'll take Oklahoma City. So. But that's where we went, and I'm like, God, I remember that afternoon. I went home and I said, God, now look, I don't understand this. I'm trying to be your pastor. I'm trying to do the best I know how, and now I'm finding out that I've got cancer, and it's something that my doctor says he can't handle, and I don't understand why this is coming on me. And I didn't. I really didn't. And I down there in my little old shop, boy, y'all been there, you know what I'm talking about. That's where I hid. I went down there to my little cave, and I got in my little cave, and I prayed. And it was just clear as God spoke to Job. God spoke to me. He said, well, why are you any different than anybody else?
That wasn't the answer you were looking
for. That
wasn't
what I was looking for. I'm like, but God, you know, at least give me something that says, hey, I'm your doctor. I can handle this. Don't worry about it. This is curable. We'll take care of it. Ain't no problem.
But that ain't what I got.
He said, I'm not the doctor to do it. I don't know how we're going to handle it. I just know I can't handle it. That's what he told me.
And he's talking about the first.
The cancer. Yeah, the first surgery. Yeah. And so I finally just sat there for a few minutes, just stone quiet, because I didn't have anything else to say. Really, I didn't after that. I really didn't, because I could only say to God, "You're right. I'm no different than any of the other folks that I've ministered to over the 40 years or so that I've been pastor. I'm no different. I'm no better. Hopefully no worse, but I'm certainly no better than any of them. If they can have cancer and die from it, I can too." And then one last word the Lord give me on that. "Well, if it ain't this now, it'll be something else later." And I said, "Whoa, okay, God, I got you." And so I just said to God, "You're in charge. I trust you, whatever you want to do. I'm fine. And then I told him what I really heartfelt. "As long as you're glorified, that's all I want. As long as you're glorified, I'm fine. Whatever it takes, I'm happy." And buddy, I'm telling you what, I left there shouting. I really did. And I just rejoiced to the Lord. And then the doctor called and said, "All right, we got you set up in Oklahoma City." And that doctor did the surgery. And he said, "We got it all. It's all gone. And I praise God for that. I do. And hope it stays gone. But we'll keep a check on it. But, you know, that's up to the Lord.
That is something else.
That's right." He said, if you don't die from this now, you're going to die sooner or later from something else. So, you know, and it was like, I can't control this myself.
Amen.
Only God can. It's in God's hands. And that's basically what God said. And I just said, "Well, hey, as long as you're glorified, that's all that matters." Because I've lived 68 years. I mean, I'm fine. I'm good. Just whatever you want to do, Lord. We've had a lot of good times. We've done lots of good things. Or hey, God has, not me, but God has. And it as long as he's glorified. But I do want God to be glorified. I do want to finish well. I want to finish this life in the glory of the Lord. That's all I ask of that. That's it.
But God, basically, that's exactly what he told you.
Yep.
He told Job. He said, "Job, you can't handle it."
That's it. That's exactly right.
"You can't run this world."
And this was the first time, I guess, in my life. Now, I've been through, you know, burns and all that stuff that I knew was certainly capable of killing me. But this was the first time that I'd actually come up in a situation where I genuinely knew without any doubt in my mind there wasn't a thing in the world I could do. And that's a profound time in your life. Because up to then, you know, you say, "Well, all right, I'm sick. I'm going to the doctor. Get me some medicine. He gonna fix it." Well, that wasn't the case this time.
Well, that may be where our there was some reason God let you go through that, and we don't know all of them. It may be, though, there's somebody that's listening right now today who needed to hear what you just said more than they've ever needed to hear anything in their life.
Absolutely, and to me, I'm very, very, very serious when I say it. It's about God. It's not about me. It's not about her. So it's not about Brandon. It's not about who we are, because we're just like a blade of grass. We're just here today and gone tomorrow. We're not going to be here very much longer. And it's about God's glory. And that's what Job was about. That's why God chose the story of Job and put it in his word for us to study and read so we can learn. It's about God. And it's about God's glory. It's about God's purposes. So that's what we need to accept. Hey, look, God, I don't understand this. I didn't, and I still don't. Don't have to. Don't even need to. We sang an old song, "We'll understand it better by and by," or either we won't care.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll really care when we get to heaven. I mean, really
when we see Jesus, I don't think that all these things we've gone through are going to be important enough for us to even ask a question about.
The only things that will matter are the things that God rewards us for, right, if there be anything that he can reward us for. Those are the only things that will matter.
So, Job, when he's put on the spot, and suppose he came to me and said, "Okay, you tell me how to fix all this stuff." Man, I'd go blank and I couldn't even open my mouth hardly again. And that's the way Job was. What happened in verse 4 there when it says in verse 3, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'Brother, And what did he say in verse 4?
Well, he said, "Behold, I am vile."
Oh, he can't tell
what shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. In other words, I'll shut up.
Yeah.
And I'll be real quiet.
And so if God were to say to me, "Okay, you questioned all these things that's happened to you. Now you tell me how to fix it." First thing I'm going to have to do is do what Joe did and say, "God, I'm vile." What is a person that's vile?
Well, they're sinners.
Yeah.
And right. Everything about their life is probably not acceptable with the Lord. And that's pretty vile.
That is. I'm corrupted.
Yeah.
I'm not pure and holy like God.
Yeah.
But God said Job was an upright man. And is there a difference in being an upright man? And can he still be vile?
Well, you look at modern day people, and we hold up Billy Graham
mm-hmm.
to a different level than us necessarily. But Billy Graham had sin nature.
Dead.
Billy Graham was vile, in spite of as good a man as he was, and I'm certain he was a good man, as best we know.
Yeah, we're not throwing rocks at him.
Not at all.
We're just opening a door for you to see that the three of us that are sitting around this table today and trying to tell you what God's word is, we are vile.
We are vile.
But on the other hand now, I think any of the three of us, could give an acceptable testimony.
Certainly.
Of things that God has done with us and through us and in our lives, and especially salvation.
Right.
And that's what he wants us to do, Brian. See, that wasn't what Job was doing, though.
No, not at all.
What he was doing.
Not at all.
He was going to tell God how to fix all this good
stuff.
Yeah,
but the vile part, we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And but we can glorify God, just like you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In your petition to Him.
Right.
Whatever happens, we want it to turn out to your glory
to God's
and honor.
Glory. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
And go from there.
And
then.
Only for God's glory and honor. But still, we're vile. We're corrupted.
Yes.
We have that corruption in us of the sin nature.
In modern day, Lower Alabama language means the devil.
That's right. You got that right.
We are sinners. S-I-N-N-E-R-S. We're sinners.
All of us.
But we're saved by grace.
Wonderful grace of Jesus. Mm.
Marvelous. And that's what's available to you. We'll tell you a little bit more about it in a minute, but Job, he got the picture quick. God said, "Okay, Job, you so smart in all this thing, you arguing with me, you tell me how to fix it."
Uh-huh.
And Job said, "Listen, I'm a vile man. What am I going to tell you, Lord? What am I going to answer you?"
He apologizes, don't he?
He does. He begins to realize, I don't know.
I got to back up here.
I don't know. And we all, if we sit down and really think about it, you know, we was talking about some problems a while ago, and as pastors, we see them all the time. And you want to just tell folks, and I've told them many times, that I've held folks' hands and said, "Look, I would give anything in this world that I own if I could just tell you, if you'll do this,
mm-hmm.
everything will just be perfectly all right. But I can't do that. I will tell you this, if you will trust God, everything will be all right. It may not be like you think you want it to be.
Right.
But it will be all right if you will just trust God." And I think that's what God was telling me that day in the shop. "You just trust me. I got this. I'm perfectly capable of handling it. And if you'll just trust me, then I'll make it work out for what its really intended purpose is." And I've seen that. I've seen some indications of it. I have. And continue to. I really have.
And it may be we're not promising you, if you will do like Mike did, and say, get glory through me. Or like Job finally woke up and realized the only way he could handle it was to admit he couldn't handle it.
Right.
And we're not promising you that your cancer is going to go away.
Nope.
We're not promising you your heart trouble is going to go away. We're not promising you you're going to live like Hezekiah did 15 more years. We're not promising you anything except that if you reach that conclusion in your life, you'll put your hand over your mouth, like Branham put it a while ago, rather bluntly, and shut up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Just genuinely. You know, we hear people all the time say, well, just turn it over to the Lord. Well, now listen, that's a lot easier said than done.
Don't you ever believe it.
But we can, in our heart, trust God. And that's what I think I mean when I say turn it over to the Lord, because you still going to think about it. You still going to pray about it. You still going to worry about it in spite of all you can do.
Because you're human.
But trust God. Just trust God. I get my wife so frustrated sometimes, and I'll tell her, you know, just trust me. Just trust me. I got this. And I think, and she'll just look at me, and when I start to do that, she'll say, I know, just trust you, just trust you. And that's what God said. God said, just come on now, just trust me, I got this.
Well, first thing, before Job can argue with God, he's got to say, now, Lord, I want to remind you that time you had that failure.
Yeah.
You remember when you failed on that thing?
Yeah, boy.
And when I start trying to instruct God, I got to say, Lord, I don't never know no time you ever fail.
Yeah.
God can do anything, God, the song says, but fail.
God don't fail.
And the scripture says that to God. God does not fail. He does not make wrong choices. He does not quit loving us. He does not do things that are not. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, that are the called according to his purpose. He doesn't say, well, but here's the exception to that rule. Mike Hall, he's the exception to that rule.
No, he's not.
Uh-uh.
There is no exception.
No, there is not. When God said it, somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. No, that ain't right.
It was settled to start with.
That's right. God said it, no matter whether I believe it or not, it is settled.
That's right.
That's God.
That's right.
God had the first word and the last word. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end.
Like a lot of people used to put these tags on the car, you know, God is my co-pilot. Mm-hmm. He better be your pilot.
That's right. I see you say, Mike.
I ain't putting that one on mine.
That's right.
Not me.
Uh-uh.
Well, I wish we could stay here, but sure as a world, time and that old clock won't quit. Let's go on to the next part there in verses 6 through 8 and look at it. God's thoroughness in his revealing of Job's wrongful blaming.
Then answered the Lord unto Job by the whirlwind and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?
Why do you think God answered out of the whirlwind?
Boy, that's a tough thing right there. You know, when he came to Elijah, he wasn't in the whirlwind. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the fire. He was in that still small voice.
But in the whirlwind, don't you think Job was hard-headed?
Yeah, he was.
I mean,
like me.
Yeah, well, like all of us. And everything that we've gone through in this lesson today has indicated something in that direction. Mm-hmm. And so the only thing I can figure on it, Herschel, and y'all mull over this if you want to, is that God had to do something a little more spectacular mm-hmm. to get Job's attention to the fact that his power and authority was being questioned mm-hmm. and challenged, and that God doesn't get. I don't know whether God gets too angry or not.
He gets angry,
but he might have been a little mad.
What is a whirlwind? Is that little thing out there where the leaves dance around.
I'd say bit. Like a tornado.
Ooh, and God was in the tornado.
Now that's a whirlwind too.
Yeah.
But you know, I know what you're talking about.
Right.
On some of these devils. Windy, dusty days.
Them old dust devils. We used to call.
They'll jump up in there.
But that wasn't where God was.
I used to run like a kid trying to catch one of them things.
Yeah.
You know, just.
I've always heard when as a kid, if you jump in the middle of one of them, you'll turn to a girl.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But I never did try it.
I've always heard when I was little. If you put salt on a bird's tail, you can catch it, too.
Well, I think that's another one.
But nevertheless, I think you're right. I think God had to do something sensational and powerful.
Yeah.
Because Job really is questioning God's power.
He is. And God's wisdom.
Yeah,
if God can handle a whirlwind, a tornado, and can talk to him out of a tornado, it must be God is a little bit better... farther advanced than me in my knowledge and my power.
Well, his power and authority and strength is demonstrated, and old Job can look at it and see.
Yeah.
Job in his mind know, hey, I can't make the wind do that.
No.
So I better pay attention to the one who can. And I really think that it was a spectacular thing that God was doing there. That just got Job's attention.
But Job needed that now.
He's reached the point
where he's doubting God and questioning God and advising God. And God said, well, old boy, I'm going to ride up on a tornado.
We're
going to have a talk about this tornado.
But don't God sometimes have to do some spectacular things in our life?
He does
in mine sometimes.
He does to give me
a little tuning up.
Give us a tuning up.
Well, my granddaughter has Crohn's disease, just discovered the last year at 16 years of age. And she was 15 then. And I'll tell you, God got my attention.
Absolutely.
I have prayed and cried and over that. And in fact, I needed to, but I lost 36 pounds.
Yeah.
I didn't, it wasn't because I was actually fasting, but I was so burdened, and I guess that's what fasting is.
Couldn't eat.
I didn't want to eat. I couldn't eat.
Well, here's the encouragement. I've got a sister who came to our Christmas get-together back last Christmas, and she brought her daughter and her son with her from Birmingham. And her daughter, she was about 12 or 13 when she found out she had Crohn's disease. And she'd had to have the surgery and all that stuff that they do and everything. But she's now a nurse practitioner, and she's eventually planning to be a doctor. And she's just coming right along, healthy as a horse, and looking good. So, you know, that's to me encouraging. I thought about you and your granddaughter when I saw her come walking through the door, just as happy as she could be, and telling us that she where she was now. And in that time, she went through that. She went through nursing school, dealing with Crohn's disease and all of the effects of it and so forth, and failed. She actually failed as a nurse because she couldn't go to her classes.
Right.
She couldn't do the things she needed to do.
Parallel, just right down the line.
Well, she did. She failed. But now... she's gone back, and with the help of God, and she's now a nurse practitioner, and she said she's planning on going back and getting her doctorate and going to become a doctor. So, you know, be encouraged. There's life after Crohn's.
I am. The God that was powerful enough to do that for her.
Sure.
And for my granddaughter. She wants to be a doctor.
Really? And how about that?
She wants to be a doctor.
Amazing. Yeah.
So that God today, nobody else may not got anything out of this lesson, but I done got a real blessing. Now, I done got an answer.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's what God is saying. I'm gonna give you an answer, Job. I asked you to tell me something, and you couldn't do it. You put your hands over your mouth because you couldn't do it. But here I come up. I come up on a whirlwind here. And I'm going to give you some answers here. And my advice to you, Brother Pinion, is gird up thy loins now like a man. What does he mean there? Put that in this 2020 language.
Suck it up.
Brian likes that old Southern English.
He does.
Let's suck it up, boy.
Yeah.
And listen to me.
Yes. Suck it up, tighten your belt, and stand strong.
Yeah. Be a man about it.
Yeah.
Well, the old Jewish people, when they wore them robes, you know, and all that, they had to reach down, grab that robe, pull it up between their legs, and tuck it in their belt where they can run.
They call that girding up your loin,
get it where you can run, where you can really maneuver.
Yeah, that's what I'd say, just suck it up.
Get your old mind straight where you can listen to me, and let me tell you what I got to tell you. Prepare for battle, son. I'm going to give you the word.
What would you say to those folks that are suffering, listening to us? And they've been arguing with God and doubting God and fretting over it. And I'm not making little people suffering.
No, I know.
I don't have a clue what you're going through. But God is saying, if you're going to give me some advice, you better get up on your hind legs like a man. And let's deal with me. I rode up on a whirlwind. I rode up on a tornado. You stand up like a man, and let's talk about this.
Well, that's the girding up your loins meant get ready for what's coming.
Yeah, right.
Get ready for what's coming.
Get your mind right.
Get yourself in a position where you're ready to hear what I've got to say and listen to me. And if you'll listen to God today, no matter what circumstance you're in, and I can only imagine somebody whose children are in jail or on drugs, alcohol, whatever your case might be, that are hurting so badly, and you want to say, but God, why? I've tried my best to witness to them. I tried to live my life in such a way before them. Why has it got to be the way it is? And just listen. Just get yourself prepared and just let God speak to you right now, because God's telling you, I got this. You prayed about it. You've tried your best. You've done all you can do. Now, let me do what I can do. It may take a day. It may take years. You may be already in heaven before the answer really finally comes. But it's going to have to be at a time when God's got everything in the universe in the right position for it to happen. Christ didn't come to this earth as a baby 1 second before the time was full.
Right.
He's not going to come back to this earth 1 second before the time is right.
Amen.
For him to return. And it's the same way with your child. It's the same way with your disease. It's the same way with whatever challenge you're facing, with your marriage, your finances. Whatever it is, God hears you. It's okay to keep praying about it. It's okay to keep talking to him about it. But understand, you've got to trust him. You've got to let him work it in his way if it's going to be right.
Have you heard that song, Christian song? It's a modern song. I don't know how old it is, but it's talking about when things are going and you're going through tough times and you don't have answers. But it says in there one line, I remember, when you can't see his hands, trust his heart.
That's the key.
Trust his heart.
Mm-hmm. That is the key. And that's where old Job was. Old Job was saying, God, I can't see you. I can't hear you. I can't feel you. I've looked everywhere. Where are you, God? Are you doing anything? And God said, just get yourself ready. Let me teach you.
Well, one of the answers for any of those that might be listening that are in life-threatening situations or circumstances that they have little or no control over whatsoever, one of the things that Mike said a while ago about his problem when he went to his man cave and he came out and said, God, you be glorified. See?
Absolutely.
Now, those that are listening now that have situations that they just sometimes feel that they can't handle.
Right.
I think just God, you be glorified.
That's it. You be glorified.
In the midst of it.
That's right.
And whatever the answer is, I don't know
what
the answer is. Yeah. But I want you glorified in, on, and through whatever it
whatever
is.
Whatever it is. That's right. Whatever we got to go through, we'll go through it together.
Yeah.
And when we come out the other side, God be glorified.
Amen.
Well, that's the beauty of all this, though, is that we can go through it together.
That's
with
it.
God.
That's
whether
it.
You see Him, whether you feel Him, it doesn't matter whether I feel. So I had some folks tell me, I'd like to go to church where I can feel it. Well, I just like to go to church where I can be surrendered and worship.
Where I can worship, yes.
Yielded to the Lord.
And so when we do that, whether we feel anything or not, whether we feel anything or not, God is there. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. What does that mean?
It means that He's never...
to the end of the world.
Never, ever. There'll never be a time when God's not with you.
That's right.
Wow.
And Job, you think because your mind has been affected, your reasoning has been affected by all that suffering you're going through. And I'm sure Job suffered way more than I've ever suffered. I'm not ever suffered much in my life. I wouldn't even bring up anything that I would consider suffering compared to even what you two have gone through here at the table. But certainly not a man like Job and some of you people that are out there suffering from all the things that you're suffering from. I'm not even in your league. But I can tell you that I have never felt that God is a failure, and I find no evidence of that. And I have been told to bring my burdens unto the Lord and to leave them there with Him. And so that would be my advice to you, based on failure on my part a lot of times to do it. I bring my burdens to the Lord and I pick them up and carry them away. He wants us to cast your cares. Didn't Peter say, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you.
That's it. And absolutely.
If you believe He cares for you, and surely He does, how do we know, Brother Pinion, that He cares for us? What did He do on the cross, and what did He do in coming to this world that tells us without a doubt God cares for us?
Well, first of all, it shows the love of God, because God sent His only Son to be the sacrifice for our sin, to carry our sin away, to cleanse our sin from our lives, and to make us fit subjects for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that comes through confession of our sin and a crying to Him for forgiveness of those sins, and the fact that when we do that, we're going to tell Him that we're going to serve You, we're going to love You, we're going to live for You, and we're going to be what You want us to be. And, you know, I say those four things, but there's a lot of folks that think that the only thing you got to do is just go down front. Mm-hmm. And that there's not anything farther from the truth.
Right.
Boy, if it's not a change of the heart and a change of the direction of our lives, then we haven't done anything.
As a commitment of the soul.
That's it.
A change of heart. Amen.
If your salvation hadn't changed you, then you don't have salvation.
No.
Well, I told this yesterday, Mike, in my sermon, that I had a family join our church. I mean, under genuine repentance. And we accepted them in, and they never came back.
Yeah, no, I've had
never.
That. I've had that.
I mean, and I visited them, and I prayed for them, and I visited them over again and again, and never could convince them. And I'm like you.
Yeah.
Man, what did they come for?
Right.
You can't help but wonder.
I do. I really do.
But if Job, if you'll stand up, get up on your feet, and consider the power of God in that whirlwind, consider His love for you, consider that He's not going to treat you wrong. Job, if you'll get up, you may still suffer. And I don't know how long Job went after this suffering. I don't know.
Who knows?
How long does a man suffer? Those of you that are going through what you're going, maybe you're facing surgery or you're facing something else. But you just remember, because we kind of criticize God and come down on Him because He don't just snap His finger and make everything like we want it to be. God is righteous. He is God. And He is without any doubt in this world. He does love you. And whatever He does, if He does get glory, and that's the thing that we've said over and over and over again, it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
It'll be worth it all. Well, let's read the scripture 42:1-6. Now,
then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. You know the blessing that Job got out of all this? They said, you know, toward the end of the book, it says, you know, he got everything back again and 10 times more or whatever and all of that. And people look at that and say, boy, old Job got a blessing. Job's blessing came to him before
he
ever got out of that city dump.
That's right.
While he was still had sores all over his body. While he was still in the city dump scraping with the shards of broken pottery, that's when the blessing came to Job. And it's right there where he said, I've heard of you, Lord, by the hearing of my ear, but now I see you.
Right.
And it's like we mentioned last week, if you want to see the stars, you got to go out in the darkness. And old Job had been through the darkness, and now he saw God. What a difference. What a difference. Suffering can cause us to really see God and know God in a way that we never could know Him otherwise.
Okay.
And that's, to me, that's where the blessing is. Yeah. The blessing is coming to really know God. It's not in material goods and wealth. It's not even in our health being restored.
Right.
It's in being able to know God better.
Well, and Job
and
said,
depending on Him more.
Amen, yeah. Brother. Learning yeah. That's all there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning, the song says, learning to lean.
Hey, I like that. Blackwood Brothers.
Yeah. Well, one thing I know, Job said earlier, I went forward, you wasn't there.
Yeah.
I went backward, you wasn't there. I went to the left hand, you weren't there. I went to the right hand, you weren't there. But now he said, I heard about you, but I see you now, God. I see you now.
Well, don't you think the whirlwind that was there was more importance in him seeing God in that whirlwind than the whirlwind itself?
Well, indeed it was, yeah. Yeah, the whirlwind might come or go, and nobody pay any attention to God. But Job saw God. He saw God. He heard about him. He had heard he was a great God. It heard he was a mighty God, but he said, now I see it. I see it with my own eyes. I hope that you can say today, whether you're suffering or whether you're not, if you're not suffering now, the day will come when you will, because suffering is a part of life, and the day will come when you will. But I hope if you that's the case, you'll say, I am going to wait on the Lord. And I do see the power and the miracle of God. If He saved you by His grace and forgiven your sins, you can see the mighty power of God in a sinner being saved by grace. If you've not experienced that yet, you can right now, this very day, call on Him. Call on the Lord. Ask His forgiveness. Tell Him you trust what He did for you. And I will guarantee you, before the sun sets, you will be a child of God. Join us next week for the teaching of God's Word.